Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Suge Knight used to be the scariest dude in the rap game. Almost everyone was afraid to cross him and get kidnapped, tortured, or worse. But today, we're breaking down the wild stories about the real savages in the industry who wanted all the smoke with Suge. The first dude in the rap game who stood up to Suge Knight was the legendary Eazy-E. Without Eazy and N.W.A., rap might have never taken over the music industry. They brought gangster rap to the mainstream and kicked down the doors for everyone else to come through, but it didn't take long for it to all fall apart. Ice Cube was the first one to leave the crew over money issues. All of them started sending shots at him over the situation, but not long after that, Dre wanted out too. Eazy wasn't just gonna let him walk though, so that's when Dre brought in Suge Knight to handle it for him. According to rumors, Suge and his goons rode up on Eazy at the studio and told him they had kidnapped NWA's manager, Jerry Heller. Heller and Eazy were super tight, but Eazy wasn't afraid of Suge and didn't back down. Suge wasn't finished yet though. His crew pulled out bats and metal pipes, then Suge showed Eazy a piece of paper with his mom's address on it and said, "I know where your mama stays." Eazy wasn't scared of the smoke with Suge, but he didn't want his mom getting caught up in the situation, and he ended up signing the contracts to release Dre, the DOC, and Michelle from Ruthless Records. The beef wasn't over though, and according to Jerry Heller, Eazy wanted to kill Suge himself. Jerry talked Eazy out of it, but later Jerry said he wishes he let Eazy do the world a favor by taking Suge out. Even after he signed the contracts, Eazy was still putting pressure on Suge, Dre, and the rest of Death Row. Dre had taken shots at Eazy on the track Fuck With Dre Day and rapped, "The hoods you grew up with, niggas you grew up with, don't even respect your ass. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass. Used to be my homie, used to be my ace. Now I wanna slap the taste out your mouth. Make it bow down to the road." Then Eazy clapped back on real motherfucking G's and rapped, "See, you's a wannabe loke and you'll get smoked, and I hope that your fans understand when you talk about spraying me, the same records that you making is paying me. Motherfuck Dre, motherfuck Snoop, motherfuck Death Row. But to me, you ain't nothing but a bitch ass nigga that ain't worth a food stamp. And at Death Row, I hear you getting treated like boot camp. Gotta follow your sergeant's directions or get your ass pumped with the Smith & Wesson." Suge and Death Row were blowing up because of Dre and Snoop, but Eazy's Ruthless Records was still competing with them. He signed Bone Thugs and Harmony and was dropping solo records too. No matter how scary Suge was to other people, Eazy made it clear he wasn't backing down. And that's why there's a crazy rumor that Suge actually had him killed. In February 1995, Eazy was a little sick and went to the hospital for a call. It didn't seem like a big deal at first, and that's why everyone was shocked when he announced 2 weeks later that he had AIDS. And then just a few weeks after that, Eazy was tragically pronounced dead at just 30 years old. AIDS was definitely more deadly in the 90s because treatments weren't as good, but the way Eazy died so fast made the whole situation sketchy. According to a rapper named Frost who was signed to Ruthless Records, another rapper affiliated with Eazy named BG Knockout rapped about it on the track In My Prime and said, "The way my big homie went out, he didn't deserve it. They say he died of AIDS, but Eazy was called murder. I filtered out all the bullshit with my third iris. Full-blown AIDS, but Tamika ain't got the virus." If Eazy really had AIDS for longer than a few weeks before he died, BG is wondering why none of his children or baby mamas ever tested positive for the virus. The rumor had been around ever since Eazy died, but in 2003, Suge made a statement that shocked the entire rap game. Suge had just gotten out of jail and went on Jimmy Kimmel Live for an interview. Suge's violent rep was so massive that Kimmel even wore a bulletproof vest for the interview as a joke, but nobody was expecting what happened next. Suge told Kimmel that you don't need bullets to kill people and said,
"So if you shoot somebody, you go to jail forever. So the kids, you don't want to go to jail forever, right? So they got this new thing out that people sell them all the time. They got this stuff to call, they get blood from somebody with AIDS, and then they shoot you with it.
Oh,
so
well, that seems bad.
Happen, that's a slow death.
Easy,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eazy was one of the only dudes on the West Coast who could stand up to Suge and beat him on the industry side too. He wasn't ever going to stop sending shots at Death Row and trying to take over the game, and that's why Suge allegedly had him killed. Dr. Dre left Ruthless Records so he could start Death Row with Suge. The label was a massive success from the jump after Dre dropped The Chronic. His name was already buzzing in the industry because of NWA, but nobody knew how crazy his solo records were gonna be. The Chronic was sold over 3 million times and went triple platinum, and a lot of people say it's one of the best rap albums of all time. The Library of Congress even put it in the National Recording Registry because it's so important to hip-hop. Dre also brought in Snoop Dogg, and the two of them together made Death Row Records one of the biggest labels in the game. They hadn't been in the industry long, but they were taking over so fast that nobody could compete. Then Shug scored another massive win for Death Row when he signed Tupac. Pac linked up with them after Shug bailed him out of jail, and suddenly Death Row had three of the biggest artists in the world under one roof. But even though Dre used Shug to get out of his contract with Easy and Death Row was taking over, Dre wasn't happy with the situation. All he wanted to do was work on his music and avoid all the drama, but that was the opposite of Shug and Pac. Shug, Pac, and most of the Death Row rappers were all about going to war against the East Coast, but Shug was always beating his own employees in the office. There are all kinds of crazy stories about him putting hands on people and making them scream while their co-workers had to act like nothing was happening, and Dre didn't want anything to do with it. When Pac joined up, everything in the studio changed too. Dre liked to only have a few people in there and would spend months working on one song, but Pac would be throwing parties and laying down three tracks in an hour. Eventually, Dre decided to split off and start his own label, Aftermath. Shug wanted him to leave with nothing at all, but according to rumors, Dre proved he wasn't worried about Shug and took a bunch of Death Row masters with him when he left. Dre wasn't afraid of Shug, but he also wasn't trying to spark a beef. He just wanted to do his own thing, but that didn't stop Death Row from switching up on him. Pac even aired him out on the track Toss It Up and rapped, "No longer Dre Day, Eddie Vedderci, blown and forgotten, rotten for plotting child's play, check your sexuality, as fruity as his Alizé, quick to jump ship, punk trick, what a dumb move, cross Death Row, now who you gonna run to?" The track actually came out after Pac was killed in Vegas, so Dre never responded. But the beef didn't end there, and some people think Dr. Dre actually put a bag on Shug's head. Back in 2014, Shug was at a VMA after party that Chris Brown was throwing when a shooter rolled up and hit him six times. There's no evidence to back up the story that Dre hired the dude, but Shug claims that's what the feds told him. After Dre left Death Row Records, Pac and Snoop had to hold it down for the label. But what happened next proved that Snoop is one of the biggest savages in the rap game. Everyone knows who Snoop Dogg is, but most people have no idea how heavy he used to be in the streets. Snoop came up in Long Beach and started repping the Rollin' 20 Crips. Long Beach was one of the craziest areas on the West Coast, especially when Snoop was in the trenches. He was moving a lot of weight, and right after he left high school, he got booked on cocaine possession charges. After his first case, Snoop started going in and out of jail for the next 3 years and knew that he had to switch things up before he caught a serious sentence. He had always been into music growing up and used to rap and even sang in a choir. While he was locked up, one of his OGs told him he was too talented to be throwing away his life in jail, and that's when Snoop decided to hop in the rap game. He linked up with Dre and Shug at Death Row, but before he dropped his first album, Snoop got hit with a murder charge. Back in 93, a dude named Philip Older Merriam upped a strap at Snoop's head. Then another time, he came rolling through Snoop's hood trying to start some drama. Snoop and Philip yelled at each other in the street, then Snoop's crew chased him down when Philip and his homies left. They found him in the park, and Philip tried to start letting off shots. But before he could shoot, Snoop's bodyguard shot Philip in the head. Snoop got hit with a murder charge and was facing life in prison. And that's when he knew he needed to leave the streets behind for good. The war between the East and West Coast was already getting deadly, but Snoop just wanted peace. Before his murder trial started, he told the LA Times, "Nobody ever asked a successful rapper like me how he feels about what's going on in the hood. I'm someone who's trying to turn his life around, and it gets emotional." Snoop and Pac had a lot of love for each other, but Snoop wasn't rocking with all the beef. He went with Shug, Pac, and a bunch of other Death Row dudes to New York, and that's when he almost got himself killed. Instead of going to war with Diddy and Big, Snoop went on the radio and showed them all love. He made it clear that he wanted to spread positivity instead of hate, but Shug and the rest of Death Row felt like he was picking the other side. When Snoop got back to the hotel where everyone was at, Shug and Pac wouldn't even talk to him. Then the next day, they were all catching a private flight back to the West Coast, and Shug wouldn't let anyone of Snoop's security ride with him to the airport. Snoop knew something was up, but instead of running away, he got ready for action. When they all got on the plane, Snoop grabbed a knife and a fork, then headed to the back of the plane and covered himself with a blanket in case anyone tried to jump him. Luckily, nothing went down on the plane, but Snoop showed everyone he wasn't going down without a fight. He already stood up to Shug once, but then Snoop took it to another level when he dropped the track Pimp Slapped and rapped, "This nigga's a bitch like his wife. Suge Knight's a bitch, and that's on my life. I'ma let the whole world see, cause you fucked up the industry, and that's on me. Snoop proved he was ready for all the smoke with Suge, but they eventually squashed the beef. Snoop told Big Boi that he loved Suge Knight because he changed his life. He said there was a lot of greatness in Suge, but everyone was too busy looking at all the stupid shit Suge did in the streets to notice. Snoop might have moved on from his beef with Suge, but this next rapper went face to face with him and won't ever squash it. Eminem is this almost everyone in the industry, but he's not known for crashing out in real life, and that's what makes his next story even crazier. When Suge was locked up for jumping Orlando Anderson with Tupac in Las Vegas the night Pac died, Dre was building up Aftermath and signed Eminem. Linking up with Dre was huge for M, but it also turned Aftermath into one of the biggest labels in the game. By the time Suge got out of jail, Eminem was already at the top of the industry and running up massive numbers. Death Row was pretty much dead at that point because Suge lost Pac, Snoop, and Dre, and he was obviously pressed that Dre was more successful than ever. According to M's bodyguard, Big Nas, Suge and a bunch of goons tried to surround M at the Source Awards and the situation almost went left. M wasn't backing down even though there was allegedly like 30 dudes around him, but Nas snatched him out of there before anything popped off. Then Dre, Snoop, and Eminem all flew to Hawaii and the situation got even crazier. Nas told Cam Capone News that when they touched down in Honolulu, a bunch of cops showed up to keep them safe because Death Row was rolling deep and wanted to get at them.
Some of the guys they had in their camp were either former police officers or were police officers that rolled with Death Row, which is no secret.
What happened when you guys got off the plane?
Oh man, we ended up getting escorted by Honolulu policemen, and so we had to gather up our kids, our wives. And
it was supposed to be like a vacation for everyone, but as soon as they touched down, everyone had to get ready for war. Nas said they hopped in the van, and all you heard was guns being loaded and bulletproof vests getting strapped on. Death Row showed up with like 60 goons to stop the concert Dre, Snoop, and M had going on. Eminem was their main target, but he stood his ground and took the stage. Both of the first situations between Eminem and Death Row were crazy, but it's nothing compared to what happened next. M popping off and helping Dre turn Aftermath into a massive label already had Suge pressed. And the situation got even more heated when they signed 50 Cent. 50 had a crazy amount of buzz on his name before his first album even dropped, and now he's one of the best-selling rappers of all time. Suge decided to roll up on 50 while he was shooting a video for his track In The Club, and that's when Eminem proved how savage he really is. Bizarre from D12 said they were all chilling at the video shoot when someone ran in screaming that Suge was outside. A lot of people were terrified and started running away, but M grabbed his bulletproof vest and headed straight outside to confront Suge. Tony Yayo went on Drink Champs and talked about how M handled the situation. Suge came up with his crew and just lit a cigar to try and look scary, but Eminem wasn't playing like that and started screaming right in his face.
I was bugging because I seen, this is when I knew Eminem was real. He's like, I don't give a fuck, man. This is when I knew, I'm like, damn, Eminem is a real nigga. These things.
Suge didn't even say anything back. He just motioned the goons that it was time to leave, and they walked off without any issues. M was ready to throw down with whoever wanted smoke, but this next rapper actually put a gun in Suge's face. The gang linked up with Dre and was supposed to be the newest member of 50 Cent's G-Unit crew. The situation ended up falling apart pretty fast, but the game had a wild beef with Suge Knight right after he joined Aftermath Records. According to rumors, Suge dragged Game off the stage back in 2004 and slapped him up. At the time, Game was beefing with a dude named Yuck Mouth, and he aired Game out over it on the track Game Over 2 and raps, "Nigga ain't from the hood, your first album went wood, and every week you getting slapped by Suge. Bitch nigga, come to the Bay, man, them texts gon' spray." Then a few years later, Game took shots at Suge on the track My Bitch when he said, "Last but not least, my gangsta bitch. From Compton, always in and out of jail and shit. Bitch tried to burn Snoop, stole Chronic from Doc, blew the whole West Coast, even tried to fuck Pop." Suge was pressed about another dude from Compton calling him out like that. So he allegedly rode up on the Game at a Vibe Awards after party with 60 gangsters.
Like, Suge rode up on me one time at the Vibe after the Vibe Awards after party,
yeah,
with like 60 gangsters, and he wanted to press for something I said in my song about him.
Game said he wanted to talk about the Death Row era and Suge because it cost a lot of people their lives and they never get mentioned. Rap fans know about Pac and Biggie's deaths, but way more street dudes got caught up in the situation and never made it out. Suge wanted to check the Game over what he said and surrounded him with his goons, but Game says he upped his strap on all of them and wasn't even thinking about backing down. The situation could have ended with a bunch of people dying, including the Game, but he told Nick Cannon that after that day, it was all respect between Suge and him. He even shouted Suge out on the track Stainless and rapped, I went from wanting to be Suge to hating Suge to fucking with him. 28 years, a long ass time. It's fucking with him. Talked to him on the phone the other day about how he could have signed me before Dre. In the 90s and early 2000s, almost everyone was terrified of Suge. But after dudes like Dre, Snoop, Eminem, and The Game stood up to him, it was all downhill. Back in the day, nobody would have tried to check Suge. But in 2008, he got knocked out in a nightclub by a random dude. It's not clear exactly how it all went down, but Suge and some of his homies allegedly put hands on someone in the club who owed Suge money. Then either the dude they roughed up or someone else swung on Suge and laid him out cold. Then just a few months later, Suge was at a party for NBA All-Star Weekend when a dude affiliated with Akon punched Suge twice in the face and left him knocked out on the floor again. It all allegedly started over some contract disputes, but Suge wasn't able to scare people into doing whatever he wanted to anymore. Now Suge is serving a 28-year sentence for driving over his own homie and killing him. He probably won't make it out of prison, but even if he does, it's clear that he's not going to be able to run the game like he used to.